Very good evening. Would you please open your Bible to Psalm 19? It's good to see you this evening. I don't know. I don't have any virus. So everybody's sitting so far back. Psalm 19. We will be studying verse 8. Now, our brother is taking a minute here to put that PowerPoint, make it go here. I sent it to him late. Okay. I don't want to... How are you guys doing? Maybe we should take some testimonies. It needs about 1 or 2 minutes to put all of that together. Maybe we should sing another song or something. Well, let me read the whole psalm while we are there. It's going to get there, okay? Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heavens, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. That's the first section. Here's the second section. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and honeycomb. And that's the second section. The third begins with verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, we know that Psalm 19 has these three discernible sections that I have just mentioned, verses 1 through 6, 7 to 10, and 11 through 14. Now, we do know that between the second and third section, different people will end them differently. Some will end at verse 9, some will end at verse 10, as I do, some at verse 11, some will even will end the second section at verse 12. And wherever the first, second session ends, the subsequent session will begin with the next verse. Now, all three sections of the psalm cheerfully and passionately present the value and the beauty of one subject. And the subject is this, God's revelation of himself. God's revelation of himself. And this revelation by God of himself occurs, according to the psalm, in three spheres. One sphere is for each section. In verses 1 to 6, God reveals himself in nature. In verses 7 to 10, God reveals himself in scripture. And in verses 11 to 14, God reveals himself in nurture. That is the nurturing of the believer's heart for him or her to be like God. Now, the psalm speaks of God's revelation of his of himself, but not in a dry, technical manner, as in a straight intellectual book of theology, even though the psalm is not void of good theology. It's good sound scripture. But the psalmist speaks of God's revelation of himself in nature, scripture, and nurture with fondness, with appreciation, with cheer, with gratitude, with loving and approving tone and terms, which is very much lacking in many churches nowadays. I hear more complaint about people wanting me to preach less than for people to want me to preach more. People want to come to church and have less scripture. Think about it. And very often the people who want to have less scripture are not necessarily the people who come on Wednesday, Sunday morning, and Sunday evening. They come only on Sunday morning, and what they have, they say, that's too much. That's not the attitude of the psalmist here. I mean, he's saying scripture is wonderful. I like it. I want it. It's good. And that's what we have here. And when we put all of this together, we have stated the themes of these three segments in the following manner, which says that verses 1 to 6 speaks of the revelation of God, that the revelation of God is gloriously perceptive in nature. And we have completed it. You can perceive in nature what God is like. And the revelation of God is greatly perceptive in Scripture, verses 7 to 10. Scripture prescribes to who God is. It's not something to debate or an option. And so God's revelation of himself in Scripture is not an opinion. It is not something that you can interpret however you want. God says it. He means it a certain way. You have to get it. It is purposefully prescriptive. That means Scripture presents God as precepts upon precepts. And that's the fact. But why? Why does God present himself, prescribes to you who he is? It's so that the third section would happen. So that we would be nurtured into Christ-likeness or God-likeness. And when Scripture does its work in and on you, then guess what happened? You have the marvelous results that are spelled out in verses 11 to 14. That the revelation of God is gratefully persuasive in nature. So we have been studying the second segment of the psalm, verses 7 to 10, which states that the revelation of God is greatly perceptive in nature. And since we have just read that, we could skip that. That's where I was going to read those verses. So let us skip that part. So these verses 7 to 10 present three intentions of Scripture that reminds us of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So there we read, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things. It's profitable for its content, doctrine. It's profitable for our conviction. That's reproof. It's profitable for correction. And it is profitable for conformity to righteousness, conformity to God. So the deliverables, the results of Scripture, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, are fourfold. Content, conviction, correction, and conformity. And when you look at Psalm 19:7-10, these themes are repeated as well. Verse 7 is both your content and conviction of 2 Timothy. Verse 8, correction, is the same as correction that 2 Timothy 3:16 says. And verse 9:10 is your conformity. So the three prescriptive aspects of Scripture in these verses are indeed what we should expect from all Scripture. Remember, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 tells us it's all Scripture. There is not a part of Scripture that is not capable of doing any one of those four things. Whether you look at Psalms, you look at narratives, and we saw that when we studied the law, you remember? What is Psalms? What is narratives? What is prophecy and so on? The New Testament called all of them law. Okay? So by this we see that we have those three things, the covenant aspect in verse 7 that is both for content and conviction, verse 8, correction. So it's not one part of Scripture that has one, another part of Scripture that has another. All Scripture is inspired by God to do everything that you see here. So since all Scripture is given by inspiration and all Scripture has these deliverables, We should not therefore see the six names given for Scripture in verses 7 to 10 as separate pieces of Scripture. There are six terms used for Scripture in verses 7 to 10. Law, testimony, statutes, commandment, fear, and judgment. All six of them are labeled individually as what? As of the Lord. The law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. You remember? So remember 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is what? Is of the Lord. Is given by inspiration. You see this? So every single one of those is of the Lord. So by being of the Lord, what we have here, the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, and the judgment of the Lord, by virtue that each originates from the Lord, they are all inclusive. They each represent all Scripture. And despite the six different names used for God's revelation of himself in Scripture, the essence is the same. The various names are not various portions of Scripture. In fact, there is not a portion of Scripture that's called the fear of the Lord, is there? No. So all six names are there to represent different aspects of Scripture. And in this, when we look at it, we have, for example, as law and testimony, Scripture is of the nature of a covenant mandate. It's of a covenant mandate. If you look at it as statutes and commandments, Scripture is of the nature of correction order. It's an order to correct you, to bring you to what is fitting. And as verse 9, as fear and judgment, Scripture is of the nature of conformity rules. Those are the standards you need to comply with. And all Scripture is that way. So we are having different facets of what Scripture is. All Scripture is that way. So the last 2 weeks, we studied verse 7, and our theme for that verse was this. The revelation of God in Scripture is greatly preceptive as a covenant. And under that theme, we discovered this from the verse, that Scripture is a covenant mandate in nature. That's why we have law and testimony. Scripture is of covenant reliability in its character. It's perfect. It's sure. That's what the verse says. And Scripture, it gives covenant restoration in its effect. It converts the soul or restores the soul. It makes wise dumb people like me. So this is, all Scripture is that. But it's that aspect that is being shown in verse 7, that Scripture is preceptive as a covenant. Now today we will study verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And our theme for it will be similar. That the revelation of God in Scripture is greatly preceptive for correction. And all the theme that is there is to show the corrective value of Scripture. So as for verse 7, we will have three points to develop. First point about the names used for Scripture, which are statutes and commandment. We'll explain them. And the second point will be on the adjectives that qualify these two names of Scripture, right and pure. And the third point will regard the benefits that result from these wonderful qualities of Scripture, rejoicing the heart and enlightens the eyes. So let's see them. First, Scripture is correction orders in nature. Look at the two terms that are used here to describe Scripture. You see them? Statutes and what? Commandment. So the psalmist says that they are both of and each one of the Lord. Remember that we are dealing in all six of these terms with a literary figure we call synecdoche. What is a synecdoche? A synecdoche is when you use the part of something to signify the whole, or you use one characteristic to mean the whole thing. So you say, I got no wheels. You are not saying that you just purchased four tires. You use the parts to mean the whole, which is a full vehicle. If you talk about men in suits, you are not necessarily pointing to the suits that they wear. You are talking about businessmen. So use a characteristic to talk about the whole trade, or you use a part to make the whole thing. That's what's going on here. Okay, so I'm not making it up. That's what scripture. So when he used law, he used statutes and commandments. He used a part, but he's meaning the whole thing. Good? We're still there? Okay, good. I'm glad you shook your head. So all scripture, remember, it's all scripture which is profitable for any one of those things. So the meaning of the two terms, statutes and or orders, you know, that the psalmist here, and commandment, so that the psalmist has chosen in verse 8, the meaning tells us that the psalmist wants to accentuate, to emphasize the force of requirement associated with scripture. So in verse 8, it's mostly the force of requirement. So let us see all those terms. As statutes, the basic nature of statute is that of a corrective requirement, as the word is used here. The word statute means precepts, or preferably orders or charges. Now, there are many disciplines in which you can use the word order. Okay? So by calling God's revelation of himself an order, scripture is emphasizing the force of requirement associated with God's revelation of himself. So now you can use the word order in military. This is an order from the general. Or you can use it from someone who doesn't have even any authority from you. That's doctor's orders. And it is in that way. Think of the word order here as it would be used from a doctor or to a patient. It is the precise prescriptions as that of a doctor's prescriptions for medicine. A specific dosage, you are going to take two of these. Specific regimen, you take it twice a day. And specifically 6 hours in between. Specific orders. And that's what scripture, the psalmist is saying, scripture is. So you don't go beyond it. You don't go below it. You don't over-prescribe. You don't under-prescribe. What God says is prescriptive as an order. And the word of God is a corrective requirement, a corrective prescription. You take it exactly the way it tells you. If scripture tells you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You don't add to it. You don't subtract from it. It's a prescriptive order. You take it exactly the way it tells you. And if you try to overdosage, you are going to hurt yourself. If you try to underdosage, you are going to hurt yourself. So the psalmist is telling you scripture is that kind of a corrective order. You just do as it is prescribed to you. But also he calls scripture a commandment. And the nature of commandment is, again, almost synonymous, corrective directives. Now, think of a commandment as the commands given in military operation. That's the force of what scripture is. When central command gives directives for military action, central command, they know what would bring victory in the war. They even calculate the potential casualties, how many dead they might have, and how many wounded they might have. And these commands are not options to choose from. For those of you who've been in the military, when the command comes, you don't say, well, let me think about this one. And even though you know that, by the time you get to that wall, you will be killed. Guess what you do? You obey that command. They are directives to follow even if you may have doubts, even if you may have fears, even if it may be inconvenient to you, even if you may not understand the foundation for it. You follow the command, that's the force of it. And scripture is corrective requirement and directives. They are purposed to do exactly what is needed to solve problems, to win wars, to correct courses, to accomplish purposes, and the like. So it's exact. And now listen how good scripture is in its corrective quality or ability. Scripture is of correction suitability in its character. It's right and pure. We have two adjectives that qualify for us how good scripture is at its corrective abilities and deliverables. You are not going to find better. As right, scripture is fitting, not disjointed. Think of right as meaning not being wrong or not unfitting. In its corrective requirements, scripture is the right prescription for the heart of people. If scripture orders a path, guess what? It is the right path. You don't need to go check any other map. If scripture orders a duty, it's the right duty for the right person at the right time within the right measures. You don't need to go check somewhere else to see whether there is a second opinion or a better professional. It fits rightly. Just as when a specialist in a field of medicine would prescribe the right thing for a cure. Even better, scripture's prescriptions do not need second opinions or second judgments. And what is prescribed is right. And as pure, scripture is pure, not contaminated, it tells us here. The word pure means lucid or without contamination, without any additive or artificial thing in it. I mean, it's pure. It doesn't have anything, any floss or grass or anything like that. It is without error. It's without tricks. It is just true. It's pure. Scripture is like the sunlight without any shade or shadow in it. This word pure is used in the Song of Solomon in chapter 6, verse 10 this way. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear, that's the word, clear as the sun. Awesome as an army with banners. I mean, scripture is that. It is, I mean, it's just pure. That's the pure stuff. So scripture is not simply pure in that it is not contaminated, but it is pure in that it does not contaminate. If you take scripture, it's not going to make you worse. It's not going to bring some virus to you. You can put it in something as sensitive as your eye. And you can be confident that it will do well to your eye. You can confidently trust your soul with it. It will do well to your soul. And the result is assuredly going to be good. You can open your brain and let it operate on your brain. And it will not contaminate your brain either. It is as pure as sunlight. The effect can be attested this way with the third point, with the result you get. Scripture is of correction satisfaction in its effect. It rejoices and enlightens. Both effects of the corrective results from scripture brightens the person who lets scripture do its corrective work on him or her. Look at the first one. It says that it rejoices the heart. Scripture produces satisfactory results that rejoices the heart of its customers. You see, the rejoicing of the heart is what happens when someone has received such satisfaction from using a product. Oh, man, it did the job. It's awesome. You see, the satisfying result brightens up countenance. It is cheer from assurance that one is on the right path if scripture says take that road. You are not guessing. You are not off. You are not scratching your head. You are not lost. You are not heading on the wrong direction. You are not doubting. It is great. I got it. Awesome. Right answer. Right solution. Right direction. Right success. In following and relying upon the orders of the Lord, the person who complies with them is happy to have followed and obeyed what the Lord ordered or prescribed. Just as medicine ordered by the doctor, when it works just right, can brighten up the countenance of the sick, so do the orders of the Lord brighten the countenance of the sick at the heart, because it brings exactly what's needed. Complying with Scripture brightens you up. I have never met a person who has regretted complying with Scripture. But I can tell you, eternity will be filled with people who will regret not to have followed Scripture. And in fact, someone who may not have followed in the youth can regret in adulthood and in old age, man, I should have followed Scripture. The parent who did not raise his child or her child in Scripture regrets when they see the result of the life of that child. Be the one whose heart will rejoice because you have followed what the great physician has prescribed or ordered. And it has done its eternal miraculous work in your heart. I got saved at the age of 15. And I can tell you the greatest sorrows and regrets of my life are those times when I did not follow the prescriptions of Scripture. And the greatest joys, the brightness, are those times when I did. But look at the second thing it says. Enlightens the eyes. Scripture produces satisfactory clarity that enlightens the eyes of its users. Yes, Scripture makes you see clearly. It enlightens the eyes. It brightens up with guidance. When Scripture tells you, go there, say, oh, I see where I'm going. I got it. You are no longer in the dark when you comply with Scripture. It gives clarity, lucidity, soundness of mind. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. This is what Paul prayed, that the God, say 17 and 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What happens if he does that? That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Man, I mean, your eyes open. Whoa, look at all the treasures. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 27, Jonathan's experience can illustrate. But Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. Therefore, he stretched out the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in a honeycomb and put his hand in his mouth, and his countenance brightened. I mean, that's the kind of thing. You are weak. I mean, the Scripture gives you that nourishment and you are, woo! Potent stuff, good stuff. So, brethren, as we read this, the psalmist is speaking with terms of joy and passion and love for Scripture for what he has experienced. It's not the book of theology. It's looking at Scripture and saying that when the Lord gives you those orders, when the Lord gives those commands to correct your life, those requirements and prescription, they are from the greatest physician. He knows what he is prescribing. He knows exactly what you need. The right measure at the right time and the right potency. And these prescriptions do not contaminate. They are not contaminated and they do not contaminate. They fit perfectly the need, the call, the circumstance, the situation. Don't try to kind of play with them and cover up and try to twist. You don't do that with the medicine the doctor does you. You don't say, well, let me add a little bit of this to it. No, you take it, you trust it, because you know that doctor did a lot of studies, a lot of research, a lot of trials. Let me tell you, that great physician, he created all those things. He knows exactly what your soul needs, what your life needs, what the direction. And when the results come, if you take those prescriptions, I'm telling you, you see that it's cheerful satisfaction. I once was lost and now I'm saved. Woo-hoo! I was in sin and I'm forgiven. I was spending my life in the wrong things and now I value the right things. I was going out with the wrong friends and now I have the right ones. I didn't know how to direct my children, but now I know what will work for them. And my friends, that's exactly what each one of us should do with Scripture. That passion and love, because we know it's a good stuff. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. And we pray that here at Robertson Baptist Church, it will always be that for us. To know that those prescription orders of the Lord, they are the right stuff. And those are directives of the Lord. They're not contaminated. They are not, they don't have tricks in them. They are pure. And they bring satisfactory results for those who use them and apply them. May it be so in our hearts. Never to try to twist Scripture, to have rules with it, or to try to let Scripture be as pure as it is in our applications of it, acceptance of it, preaching of it, teaching of it, explanation of it in every way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.